Approval of the minutes for May 14th and May 17th. All those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. The minutes are approved. Consumer reports. Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The Commission received a total of 60 contacts since the last report was prepared for the May 22, 2012 Commission meeting. 9 of the contacts involved telecommunication service, 19 of the contacts involved electric service, 8 contacts involved natural gas service, 5 contacts involved cell phone service, 6 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 2 contacts related to wind energy, and 11 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. And 827 of the 848 complaints received in 2012 have been resolved.
Very good. Thank you. Questions from the Commission? Seeing none, I have one further issue related to consumer affairs, and that is the fact it's come to my understanding that Deb Gregg has been with the state of South Dakota for 25 years. And with that, we want to offer our thanks on behalf of the people of South Dakota and this commission for your service to the people. And we have your 25-year pin, and now it's public for everybody to know. Okay, with that, we will move into dockets. We've got the two territory dockets, EL-12-036 and EL-12-037. We can probably take those together. And with that, Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. This is Ross Peterson for staff. These filings are part of the GIS mapping project to verify all South Dakota electric service territory boundaries for input into the ArcMap software. The agreements do not change service provider to the customers, nor do they change any territory boundaries, and that is applicable to both of these, 1236 and 1237. As such, staff requests approval of the electric service territory agreements and is available for any questions.
Thank you. We're still working with our mic levels here. Are there questions from the commission for Mr. Peterson? Anything that representatives from West Central or West River would like to add?
None.
If not, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, an EL-12-036 and EL-12-037. Move that the Commission approve the proposed electric service territory boundary agreement.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That moves us to EL-12-041 in the matter of the joint request for an electric service rights exception between West River Electric Association and Black Hills Power. And I will go to staff first on this, Mr. Peterson or Mr. Soy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Ryan Soy. I'm part of staff. This request has been made by the utility companies to exchange the retail service rights to a individual stranded customer of Black Hills Power within WREA's territory. This is not the traditional exception that we might find that we often have before the commission. This is, in fact, a customer who remains a BHP customer from the 1975 territory agreements. Under this current request, BHP is simply asking the commission to approve its request to relinquish these rights to WREA, as it is more able, better suited to serve this customer now that the transmission and facilities have been built out more near to this customer. As all the parties are parties to this agreement, staff would recommend approval.
Thank you. Mr. Semerod, anything to add?
Just the customer was in yesterday and signed up for service, so everything's ready to go.
Very good. Ms. Ron, anything to add?
Nothing here. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Questions from the Commission?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that in EL-12-041 that the Commission approve the joint request for exchange of retail electric service rights.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to our one-call dockets. And Mr. James, if it's okay with you, I think we'll take all of these together. But before we do that, I would just like to ask, is there anyone on the line representing any of the affected businesses? Any of the businesses that would be affected by this? And I don't see anybody in our audience here today representing any of those businesses either. So with that, Mr. James, if you'd like to take these all in one shot, you're certainly welcome.
Okay. Well, in each of these cases, the enforcement panel met and determined that there was probable cause that violations occurred of South Dakota One Call Law. The penalties were assessed in many of the cases, or in all of the cases, and payment has not been received. In the first one, OC-11-003, the South Dakota One Call Board is requesting that the PUC bring an action to recover the penalty amount in that, and that was a $1,000 penalty with $500 suspended. Well, the $500 suspended now would now apply. In OC-11-007, the South Dakota One Call Board is requesting the PUC to bring an action to recover the penalty, and this amount also was $1,000 with $500 suspended. There was actually two violations in this particular case. So the total, and both of them were $1,000 with $500 suspended. So the total now would be $2,000 on OC-11-007. OC-11-008, that amount was $2,500 for this violation. And OC-11-0012 was a $500 penalty with $250 suspended, which would now apply. So it would be $500 in both OC-11-012 and in 013.
Thank you. And just for the record, I want to make clear for anybody listening online, Mr. James is the executive director of South Dakota One Call and works closely with the One Call Board in bringing this to us. Questions from the commission?
I would like to make one more statement.
Certainly.
In OC 12 and 13, the South Dakota One Call Board is just requesting the PUC to seek a South Dakota judgment from the court. This particular company works out of Minnesota, and we're not seeking that we attempt collection because it would involve hiring attorneys in Minnesota. So we just want to just seek a South Dakota judgment.
Thank you. I appreciate that clarification. Anything else, Mr. James, to add?
Not at this moment.
Questions from the commission?
We will have two motions.
I believe that would be appropriate, yes.
So, Mr. Chairman, OC-11-003, 007, 008, move that the commission bring action in the name of the state of South Dakota pursuant to SDCL 49-7A-28 for the collection of the penalty.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. And I just, before we have a motion on 012 and 013, I just want to, looking at Mr. Soy, judgment action is, in fact, appropriate on these two. Is that correct?
Yeah, the One Call Board does want to pursue action against this to gain the lien. And as Mr. Jane says, we are not going to pursue enforcing that judgment in Minnesota. But if the company tries to perform business in South Dakota again, they are going to have a lien against that and will hopefully have to satisfy that. So it's not necessary to make include the motion within the motion that we aren't going to pursue the action in Minnesota. It will simply be As Mr. James brought up during the one call meeting, it will be simply up to the board whether or not they wanted to pursue action further, and they apparently decided they did not want to pursue it within Minnesota.
Very good. Thank you. Is there a motion? I will move that in OC 11-012 and 013 that the commission seek a judgment against this particular company for the collection of the penalty. Discussion on the motion.
And is that clarified that that's a South Dakota judgment?
That is correct.
Perfect.
Other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. That brings us to telecommunications, TC 11-075, in the matter of the filing by Midstate Telecom, Inc. for approval of its intrastate switched access tariff and for a phase-in period. And Ms. Rogers.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Darla Pullman Rogers, and I represent Midstate Telecom in this docket. You will note from the write-up, and I would just also remind you that Midstate Telecom filed this petition and cost study on June 22nd of 2011, which I would call BFCC, before the FCC issued its recent intercarrier compensation cost reforms. We anticipated, frankly, having a new rate in place within a few months of filing. That obviously did not happen. There were just some steps that needed to be followed, and it didn't proceed as expeditiously as we had hoped. FCC 11-161 became effective on November 29, 2011, and that affects terminating intrastate switched access rates. Midstate didn't immediately withdraw its cost study because we wanted to keep some options open concerning originating switched access rates. But now, in light of the costs to continue to pursue the cost study and considering the volume of originating traffic of this company, it's prudent for Midstate Telecom to withdraw its cost study. And so that is our request today. On the terminating side, it's our intention to file a transitional rate filing that will, we anticipate will closely resemble the LECA filing in docket TC 12040. So we would respectfully request that this docket be closed. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Staff?
And I didn't know if any of the interveners wanted to weigh in. I don't know. Mr. Van Camp is saying no, and I think he's the only intervener here, so...
Okay.
Staff would recommend dismissing and closing the docket. Thank you.
Very good. Questions from the commission? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that in TC 11-075 that the commission dismiss and close the docket.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to TC 12-035 in the matter of the application of Midcontinent Communications for amended certificate of authority. And we have some requests for intervention. And we will begin with the request from Knowledge Community Telephone, Meredith Moore.
Good morning. Thank you, commissioners and staff. Meredith Moore appearing on behalf of Knowledge Community Telephone this morning. Knowledge Community Telephone is the incumbent local exchange carrier in the Lennox Exchange, which is the exchange in which Midco is seeking this amended certificate of authority. Knowledge is seeking intervener status pursuant to all of the applicable and relevant intervener rules, but also specifically Administrative Rule 20:10:32:4, which provides what I would characterize as an automatic right of intervention to the ILEC in the exchange, which is at issue in regard to the certificate of authority being sought. I would like to point out that the scope of Knowledge's original petition to intervene has changed because Mid-Continent has in fact filed an amended application for an amended certificate of authority, which provided a significant amount of additional information, which was very helpful. There was also another issue outstanding that related to an existing interconnection agreement between the two parties. And because of some differences in the essentially the exchange areas which were originally covered or intended to be covered by that interconnection agreement, there were some questions that Nology had. And I've had an opportunity to talk with Midco's attorney, Ms. Ford, in regard to those issues and believe we have resolved those. We do still, however, seek to intervene in this particular proceeding because Midcontinent is still seeking a waiver of the requirements contained in Administrative Rule 20:10:32:18. And that rule permits a petitioning carrier to request a waiver from the requirement that it serve the entirety of the service area at issue. Midcontinent, in this case, with its amended filings, has provided a map showing the area which it intends to serve within the Lenox Exchange, but at this point in time, Nology hasn't had an opportunity to thoroughly determine the impact that that may have. And there are a number of concerns that it has or may have, depending on what information we learn in the future related to cream skimming and cherry picking. And those issues have really taken on what I would call critical importance in light of the FCC's release of its Connect America Fund order in November of last year, because there are issues related to having an unsubsidized competitor in an ILEX exchange and what that does to one's USF funding. So there are a number of policy issues that are necessarily implicated here, and it's to that end that Nology seeks to intervene in this proceeding so as to ensure that it has an opportunity to participate with the full rights of a party and explore the filings that Midco will submit in the future and to get to have further dialogue with Midco in regard to these issues. Thank you.
Thank you. We will move on to South Dakota Telecommunications Association, Ms. Northrup.
Good morning, Margot Northrup. I'm an attorney from the Ryder Rogers Law Firm here in town, and I'm here on behalf of SDTA. SDTA filed a petition to intervene on May 16th, 2012. Rich Coyte wasn't able to be here today, and so he asked me to go ahead and present the petition today. SDTA represents the interests of numerous cooperative, independent, municipal telephone companies, including Nology Community Telephone. And as Ms. Moore identified, Midco is requesting to amend a certificate of authority so that it can provide service in part of the Lenox Exchange. They've made it clear, or it's, I guess, I don't think it's 100% clear, but I don't believe that they plan to serve the entire Lenox Exchange or any of the other exchanges or areas that Nology serves. I think Ms. Moore identified the policy concerns that SDTA has also identified in its petition. SDTA routinely intervenes in these types of dockets because they're very concerned about the rural safeguards that are included in federal and state law. And if to be in this docket, that those are the policy concerns that they would be looking at. From a high level, they're looking at the waiver request and how that would impact some of the other SDT member companies on a go-forward basis. So we're here today asking for intervention status so that we can proceed in this docket. Thank you.
Thank you. Response from Midcontinent, Kathy Ford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kathy Ford on behalf of Midcontinent Communications. We believe the issues raised by Nology and SDTA, or at least we hope, can be addressed between the parties as we go forward. But we don't have at this time an objection to the intervention request.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pat Stephenson of staff. Staff feels that both Nology and SDTA have demonstrated good cause in their petitions, have followed administrative rule, and should have their petitions for intervention granted. Thank you.
Very good. Questions from the commission? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, NTC 12-035, move that the commission grant intervention to all parties that have filed.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC 12-038, in the matter of the approval of an amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corp. DBA CenturyLink and New Singular Wireless PCS LLC and its commercial mobile radio service operating affiliates DBA AT&T Mobility for the state of South Dakota. And I will turn to Karen.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. The amendment was properly filed and executed and does not appear to contain discriminatory provisions. No comments were filed. Therefore, staff would recommend approval of the amendment.
Thank you. And I don't see anybody from the company on the line or present. Questions from the commission? Hearing none, is there a motion? I will move in TC 12-038 that the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Last item on the agenda, TC 12-043, in the matter of the filing by Local Exchange Carrier Association, Inc. for approval of revisions of its access services tariff number 1. And we have a motion for intervention by AT&T Communications of the Midwest, Mr. Van Camp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Van Camp here representing AT&T Communications of the Midwest. This is the first of the transitional rate filings that I think this commission is going to be seeing. Of course, it is probably the largest due to the number of members that are encompassed in LECA. As the LECA filing shows, there's a number of factors that need to be determined in the application of determination by this commission of the transitional rate that the members of LECA must charge on their terminating switched access charges pursuant to the order of the FCC that's already been discussed and will be discussed by this commission going forward that went into effect last November. A number of the factors and elements that go into the determination of that transitional rate are understandably filed with this commission confidentially. AT&T must pay switched access rates as an interexchange carrier in the state of South Dakota, and so its interests are clearly found within the rules allowing for intervention. That's why we seek party status, so that we can obtain that information under a confidentiality agreement, which we have negotiated with LECA, so that we can analyze the factors that were utilized in determining this transitional rate. And ultimately, this commission will have to approve that rate, and we would ask to be part of that process so that we could evaluate the factors utilized. Of note, it's June. I have to check my way. It's voting day, so everyone please remember to vote. But it is June 5th. The FCC order mandated that the transitional rate go into effect on July 1. Obviously, once we do obtain the data and the commission and staff has reviewed it and asked any questions that they might have, the validity of that rate, and I'm not saying that I know one way or the other if our company or any others would have a problem with that rate, but the determination of the propriety of that rate under our rules and in light of the FCC order is yet to be determined. We do not object to the rate going into effect. We do not ask that it be suspended under statute. Merely we ask the commission to recognize that if the rate is adjusted by action of the commission in its review and staff's review and the party's review, that it is trued up at the date, ultimately, to the July 1 effective date ordered by the FCC. With that, I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Response from LECA, Ms. Rogers.
Good morning again, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Darla Rogers representing LECA. We do not object to AT&T's intervention petition in this case. We also would are requesting that our rates go into effect as of July 1 of 2012.
We believe that the order in this case can be just an order granting intervention, and that any further true-ups or things like that, that the commission has statutory authority to order that anyway, and so we would request that this order just be for granting the intervention. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff, and staff would recommend granting the petition to intervene to AT&T.
Thank you. Questions from the commission? Hearing none, is there a motion? I will move in TC 12-040 that the commission grant intervention to AT&T Communications of the Midwest, Inc. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. We have a number of announcements that may take longer than the meeting itself. The first one, and I thought she was going to join us, but I have another recognition of a long-term employee. Tina Douglas has been with us for 20 years, and she's probably listening down there, Tina. So congratulations, and I will personally deliver the pin to you. But thank you for your service to the people of South Dakota and to the Public Utilities Commission. We do appreciate that. Other announcements, Mr. Van Camp beat me to it, but today is primary voting day in the state of South Dakota, and so whether you are a Republican, Democrat, or Independent, there is something for you to vote on your ballot today. Please make sure you go to vote sometime before 7 o'clock local time. Other announcements, commissioners will be attending Sioux Valley Energy Annual Meeting in Brookings this evening. Commissioners will be attending the Camwall Electric Annual Meeting in Gettysburg Thursday evening. Commissioners will be attending a Utility Shareholders of South Dakota meeting next Tuesday in Aberdeen. Commissioners will be attending the Roberts County Telephone Co-op Annual Meeting in Clare City next Tuesday evening. We will be holding a hearing in docket EL 11-019 beginning at 1 o'clock on Wednesday, June 13th, and continuing into June 14th. And our next regularly scheduled meeting will be Tuesday, June 19th, right here. Anything else for the good of the order?
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. All those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.